Your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1 as we look at the subject of fellowship on the Lord's Day. So 1 John chapter 1. So let us hear the word of God. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And we do praise God for his precious word. I have a few weaknesses, many weaknesses, sadly. One of them is to make decisions. So when it comes to our day off that we have every week, the age-old question comes to us, what shall we do? Yesterday seemed to be a very difficult day to decide what to do. Pete and Sue went to Clitheroe. They nearly had us joining them. That was one of the options. Should we go to Clitheroe? Or should we go to a walk down to Somerset Garden Centre, or what should we do? And well, we struggled to decide. Sometimes it's hard to know what to do because the weather's pretty rotten, raining and foggy and cold, and just don't feel like it. Maybe your back's hurting, maybe you're feeling tired, and just, well, what can we do? Just struggle away. Other times we find it hard to make decisions because there are so many ideas of things to do, so many exciting things, of good weather, etc., that we could do various things. But to me, it's not easy to decide, well, what shall we do? Well, the key question that we've been considering, particularly recently, is what should we do on the Lord's Day? Perhaps some might come to that question and think, well, what can I do? Whereas so many things I can't do, and scratch your head and say, well, I don't know how I'm going to feel this day. I just don't know what I can do. But actually, as we've gone through this series, and particularly in the last few weeks, as we focus upon what we can do, there is actually a lot we can do. And actually, possibly, the bigger problem is how we're going to fit these things in. How are we going to work out what exactly particular things we are to do on the Lord's Day? Well, we've seen one of the great activities of the Lord's Day is to worship God. That is a remarkable, that's a blessed thing to do. Something we do together as we consider declaring God's covenant love and seeing his faithfulness. There is a great opportunity, isn't there, together on the Lord's Day to worship God. We saw last week that we have opportunity, and indeed we ought to show mercy on the Lord's Day, that is at the heart of this day, to provide for people in their need, to do good to those who are in distress, and to do acts of necessity in the service of the Lord and for the blessings of others, all for the glory of God. We must engage in acts of mercy. But today I want us to look at the subject of fellowship on the Lord's Day. This is something else that we ought to do on the Lord's Day. Now, I'm aware this has been mentioned in other sessions as we've gone through, particularly in terms of our worship. But it's important that we give this subject more time to exploring a bit more depth, at least, that true fellowship that we can have in Christ on the Lord's Day. Now, as I've said previously, with worship and showing mercy and that's other things that we can do on the Lord's Day, these things are not restricted to the day alone, are they? We can worship on other days. We can show acts of mercy on other days. But these things have a special significance on the Lord's Day. And indeed, we have more time as we rest from our labours to engage in these things. And so it is with fellowship. Now, in preparing for this series, I was first confronted with the thought of fellowship, just reading the commandment itself in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8 to 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Here we have a description which shows us that all were not to work on the Sabbath day. They were to keep it as a day of rest. Why? Because this day was for all to enjoy the blessings of the day. So all to engage in worship, but also all to come together in fellowship with one another. Not one person was to be missed out, were they? Of course, you could have had a list as long as the Bible of different people, but, you know, it just encapsulates the picture, doesn't it? You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the stranger, etc. They ought to be there, ought to be involved, ought to share in fellowship with one another. And in the New Testament, we have fellowship described on the Lord's Day in Acts chapter 20. We'll be coming up to this, I'm going to say fairly quickly, but probably in the next couple of months in our series on Sundays. But here in Acts 20, verses 7 to 12, we read of what happened in Troas on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, what we know as Sunday. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. In some senses, we might find this quite an amusing story, isn't it? But it wasn't particularly amusing for the church there, with Eutychus falling out the window, and just, you know, it must have been a quite traumatic situation. But our focus today is not on poor Eutychus and falling asleep as Paul was preaching, but it's about them sharing together in fellowship. Now we see the various aspects of this Lord's Day that they engaged in. Verse 7 we read that they broke bread, that is, they shared communion together. They took the bread and the cup and remembered the Lord's death together. We see also in verse 7 that Paul preached the message to them. It was quite a long message. I think it puts ours into good light, doesn't it, as they were. You know, preached right the way till midnight. So that's there in verse 7. But also, in verse 11, we read, "And when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, they talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed." There, reference again to the breaking of bread, but also to eating. So what these people were doing, they were eating together, and they talked together. They were sharing fellowship together around a meal. Not sure where it all fits in with the day, but that is what they did. They shared fellowship. Now, you may recall a number of months, perhaps a year or so ago, when Oliver was preaching on Acts chapter 18, the occasion when Abraham was met by the Lord and a couple of angels as they came in human form, and he laid before them a great feast there in the first 8 verses. You might recall how Oliver outlined to us that there in the Bible, when people lay down a feast, a meal before folk, they share together in fellowship. And there's that communion that Abraham had with the Lord and with the angels. And so here in Acts chapter 20, this is what's happening. There is quality time for these believers in Troas to speak together and to speak with the Apostle Paul in that situation. So we can try and fit in our mind's eye, though it's a traumatic day for them, what a blessed day. To share communion, to hear the preaching of the word, share a meal and fellowship together, to do one another good in the Lord. And surely it's such fellowship that is at the heart of the Lord's Day, part of the essence of the Lord's Day. We've seen that the Lord's Day is a sign of the covenant God has made with his people. And it's not a covenant that he's made with individuals. It's made with you and you and you. It's with his people as a whole. It's as the body of his people that he's made these promises to. And he has loved us as his people. He has saved us as his people through his precious blood. So it's right not only that we commune with God, but also we commune with his people, with one another. We need to avoid using the day just doing our own individual thing. We do live in an increasingly individualistic society and culture. And so, it may not be wholly true, but in many homes there will be different television in every room, as each individual watches their individual programs and does their individual thing. That's just indicative, isn't it, of our own society, our culture that we live in. And actually it can easily filter into the church that we act as just individuals in our lives and on the Lord's Day. Where you do your thing, I'll do my thing, over here, there and everywhere, and there it is. But it shouldn't be, should it? The Lord's Day is a time when we can come together, when we can share fellowship with one another as the people of God. And indeed we see that as a part of an aspect of our worship. We've seen and we'll see that in worship we have fellowship with other believers. In our worship we encourage one another, we teach one another. We'll deal with that a little bit later. Also in the Lord's Supper, again, as they took it in Acts 20, it's not only communion with God, is it? But it's communion with one another. It's as a family of God that we meet together to remember the Lord's death. So what we need to do is to ensure that fellowship with other believers is at the heart of the Lord's Day, and that all believers have opportunity for such fellowship. Our fellowship needs to be all inclusive, whatever station in life, as it were, whatever stage of life, whatever interests in life, we must seek to include all our brethren here in such fellowship, so that the whole church is blessed by it. So fellowship is an important part of the Lord's Day. But you might say, well, it's fine to say we must have fellowship, but what is fellowship? Perhaps there's an age-old question, is it? What is fellowship? I'm sure you've been told it's not the tea and cake after service, although we still actually say, come and share fellowship as we have a cup of tea. It's not the tea or the cake that is the fellowship. It's not even the mere meeting of Christians that means fellowship. Fellowship also is not just a mere interaction and solidarity with anyone, whether they're Christians or not. We need to define and explore what fellowship actually is. Now, we could spend probably another couple of years looking at that subject, but just briefly we're going to look at a few New Testament verses to see what fellowship is. So we're going to return first of all to 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 3 we see the basis of all true fellowship. John says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." As we outlined at the beginning, our fellowship is founded upon the relationship and the communion that we have with Almighty God. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. As we also add into the mix 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, we read, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion," or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, "be with you all." So we see in Scripture that our fellowship is with the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As believers, we are right with the triune God. We have a oneness with him. And this is all through the finished work of Christ, which was, as it were, planned by the Father before time began and is applied to us by the Spirit who has given us saving faith. We are at one with God. And that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? If you stop and think about that, it's so difficult to grasp hold of, isn't it? In fact, if we truly grasp hold of it, we probably would be just transfixed and wouldn't be able to do anything. Just an incredible thought. I have fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The almighty, eternal, infinite, majestic, holy, pure, perfect, and loving God. That is astonishing, isn't it? And words just cannot express that, but it's true. It is true. And it's this fellowship which is the basis of our fellowship with one another. For only in our God can we share deep and meaningful fellowship with one another. We need to be clear that we cannot have real fellowship, true fellowship, with unbelievers. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, we read, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" And the reason we can't have that intimate, deep fellowship with unbelievers is that they are not right with God. They don't know God. We can only share this communion with those who share communion with God. So we cannot have fellowship with unbelieving shop assistants, with unbelieving work colleagues, with unbelieving friends. We can talk to them about the Lord, but we're not sharing fellowship. We're witnessing to them. We can only have fellowship with true Christians. But further, we also see in 1 John chapter 1 that John is seeking to develop and encourage true fellowship with these believers that he is writing to by bringing to them the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So obviously, as he's writing here, he's speaking from the standpoint of an eyewitness. John is an eyewitness of Christ's glory, his work, his humanity, his perfection, his death, his resurrection, his power in the church. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." And verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." So he knows Christ himself at first hand. He's seen him with his own eyes. He's written down that their communion together might grow. Their fellowship together might develop. So at the heart of fellowship, the heart of fellowship is sharing the things that we have in common. And surely our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest person that we all have in common. All the blessings that flow from his person and work are the greatest things we have in common. We consider ourselves as believers here this afternoon. That is the one thing that unites us. Some of you may have the same football team in common, but not all of us. Some of you may have the same qualifications, but we all don't. Some of you may have been born in the same place, but we all haven't been born in those places. Some of you may be of the same generation, but we're all not of the same generation. But one thing that unites us is our communion with God in Christ. That we are saved people, that we are blessed people. That is what unites us all. And so we may not, well, we're not eyewitnesses of these things. But when we come together in fellowship, we can share what we know of Christ. And all of us know something of Christ. All of us can share something of him. Though perhaps our degrees of knowledge may vary, yet we can all add something. So when we come together, when we meet together for fellowship, according to the scriptures, we can speak of Jesus. We can share of our knowledge and experience of him, those experiences of him in the past, and indeed what we've been reminded of even in the past week. When we gather together on the Lord's Day, what have we got to say about Jesus? You know, this is what helped me. This is what I read earlier in this week. Oh, this did me good. This helped me. You know, when we gather together for a birthday celebration, we tend to speak of the person and their life, and we appreciate that. When we gather together on the Lord's Day, on his day, let's speak of him. Let's speak of Jesus. There can be no finer way, no deeper way to share fellowship than in sharing of him. Secondly, turn a few pages earlier to Hebrews chapter 10. Here we find a familiar quotation in verses 24 to 25. There we read, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Of course, we often focus upon the fact that we should not forsake the meeting together. And that's right and true. As is the case in all generations and churches, there's a temptation to not meet together as often as we can, allowing leisure pursuits, work, or even rest to get in the way. And that can happen on the Lord's Day even. But we could also, I guess we tend to apply it to formal meetings, and probably that's right. But we could also apply it beyond the formal meetings and ask ourselves, okay, are we neglecting the formal meetings? But actually, are we neglecting meeting with others for further fellowship outside of the formal meetings? Particularly on the Lord's Day. Now, there's two aspects of fellowship that we can apply to our lives from these verses in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 to 25. First of all, we must see that such fellowship is in order to stir up love and good works. An interesting word in verse 24 is "consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Now, the word "consider" means to perceive, remark, observe, understand, consider attentively. That's a strong word that's used. we are to have such quality fellowship, a quality time together, an in-depth time together, so that we know one another well. That we understand one another, and from that basis we can stir up one another to love God, to love the brethren, and to do good works. You see, fellowship then isn't just an idle chit-chat over a cup of tea after a service or whatever. Rather, it's an investment of time and energy to commune with folk, to get to know folk, and to apply the word of God to stir them up to love and good works. We spend time, invest time in many, many things, don't we? Whether it's our sports, whether it's the TV, or whether it's examining things that we're going to purchase that are the best. But we need to invest time in one another, to help one another, to love and serve Christ better. And the Lord's Day gives us great time for this. Particularly in the week we're boom, 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 to and fro, and here, there and everywhere. It's difficult to fit in that time, isn't it? Quality time. But on the Lord's Day, we can spend that quality time to get to know somebody, and then from that basis to stir them up to love and good works. But also from verse 25 we read that such fellowship should involve exhorting one another, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Now exhorting means to call upon, to urge, to encourage one another to pursue a course of conduct. So by what we do as we meet together, whether it's under the sound of preaching or in fellowship, we are to direct each other to grow in our relationship with God and its expression in our lives. So we'd have that focus, how can I help another Christian to walk closely with God and to serve God better? Here we can bring in some other New Testament verses, some I wanted to spend more time on, but time will not allow. But Ephesians 4 verses 15 to 16, we're to be those who are speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So here we are to edify one another. We are to build one another up. We are to lovingly speak God's truth to one another, enabling us to grow as a body of believers. And that's an aspect of our fellowship together. It's not just the speech and speaking from the front, but it's each and every one here, isn't it? Speaking the truth in love, doing its part, edifying the whole. We can also turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. And there we read, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Obviously, a first application to this is that as we worship together, we are teaching one another as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But also we must apply this to our fellowship together, that in fellowship we teach and admonish one another. If we're to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we need to have this interaction, this teaching and admonishing one another. Of course, it's got to be in love again, but ultimately it's to protect one another from falling into spiritual harm or difficulty and to cause one another to grow in the grace of God. And again, the Lord's Day gives us a precious opportunity to exhort one another, to teach and admonish one another. So putting these things together, we see that fellowship is based upon our mutual relationship with God. It is founded upon the person and work of Christ. So in our fellowship, we must speak of him, as well as exhort and stir others up in love to know and serve God more. And the great end is that as a church, we might be built up in our faith for the glory of God. So we need to use what God has given us, the Lord's Day, for this special activity of fellowship. Thirdly, I want us to look at the outworking of fellowship. We've seen the evidence of fellowship, the essence of fellowship, but now the outworking of fellowship. How do we go about this in practice? In what context can this work? How can we help one another in this? We've got five things to help us. Firstly, in relation to our meeting together for worship. If I can put it this way, simply meeting together for worship is an encouragement to one another, isn't it? That spurs us on. Though there are other believers singing God's praise, worshipping Him, praying together, reading, coming under the sound of God's word, sharing communion together. That's going to build us up, isn't it? As we, if I can put it this way, merely meet together. Here we are engaged in building one another up. It's not a passive thing, we're just sitting there and all washes over us. It's an active engagement, isn't it? Together in fellowship with one another. So don't give up meeting together for worship. But secondly, another outworking of fellowship is to share this fellowship that we've been talking about at the close of our meeting. Probably for many of us, it will be the only time we will meet one another in the week. It's not going to be wholly the case for a number of folk, but for certain, it may just be the only time we will meet that person in the week. So let's take time to talk together of the Lord, to share of Jesus, to consider the sermon together in our conversation, to speak of our own devotions and experience of Christ, that we might strengthen the faith and service of others. We can speak together and think of this in terms of the all-inclusive that we thought earlier. The old talk to the young and the young talk to the old. That there's fellowship across the generations. That you interact with groups other than you normally would do. Those you would normally associate with. Those who have the same other interests as you. Consider who you can share fellowship with after the service. It's actually a shocking thing, but think about it. It's easy to go months without having fellowship with some people in the church here. We might say hello. That's fine, that's good. But actually share fellowship with someone. Is there someone in the fellowship you've not shared fellowship with for months on end? It would be good, wouldn't it, to say to yourself, I'm going to share fellowship with them. I'm going to speak with them on the Lord's Day. I'm going to spend time getting to know them and sharing of the Lord with them. Consider that. As well, as you think about fellowship on the Lord's Day, perhaps look out for those who are on their own, who people are not talking to. Notice them and go to them and bless them in sharing fellowship with them. Fellowship is for all. Let us be all inclusive in this. Thirdly, we can give hospitality to someone or some people on the Lord's Day. Now, it could be a meal, as we have there in Troas. It could be a cup of tea. I think most of us can make a cup of tea, just about. And we can share fellowship over a cup of tea or over a meal. Now, that gives great time, doesn't it, if we're able to do that, to get to know and understand others in a deeper way than a two-minute chat after a service. There we can really get to grips with someone and see how we can be a spiritual blessing to them. So the Lord's Day gives us opportunity for that, doesn't it? And then, fourthly, consider carefully how you might speak to another to be of blessing this is something I guess we all need to work at, is to think carefully how I might help another believer, how I might bring my knowledge of Christ to them in the scriptures, to teach them, to encourage them, yes, to admonish them where it's needed, and to comfort them. When we speak, we need to do so in love, of course. We mustn't do it in a glib manner or in a proud manner, thinking we are better than others, but rather out of a humble desire for their blessing. I think we're not used to this, maybe, in many ways. So one, it's hard actually to do it in a good and positive way, but actually it's hard to take it, isn't it? Sometimes, especially the admonition bit. What are they saying that to me about, you know? But actually, we both need to work hard at this, those who give, those who receive, that we might benefit from one another, and that we might, put it this way, you probably understand me, create an atmosphere when we are free to talk of the Lord and to share together and do one another good with humility and with grace. And fifthly, of course, we can pray together. In the light of God's word that we learn on the Lord's Day or share together, in the light of how this impacts upon our circumstances, we can pray for one another. Oh yeah, we can pray for one another on our own. But isn't it even better to pray together? Pray together in our prayer meeting, but pray together when you've invited someone to your home or whatever. Say, well, let's pray about that. You've said this is a problem, this is an issue. Well, let's pray together so that you're communing with one another, but communing with God together. And that's going to do good, isn't it? In your relationship with the Lord and with each other. Five things, you can probably think of more ways in which we can work out this fellowship together on the Lord's Day. But in many ways, this is the sort of fellowship they want to encourage through the proposed once a month fellowship meeting on a Wednesday, where we would hope to review and talk through issues arising from ministry in terms of how to apply these matters to our lives, how to spur one another on to practice what's been preached, to share together at a deeper level, to pray together in the light of this, that we might be built up together. And really, this meeting, just once a month, is not an end in itself, but I guess we desire it to be a catalyst to help us to have fellowship on such other occasions. That we get used to doing it. And we want to do it more, especially on the Lord's Day. So truly, the Lord's Day gives us greater opportunities than any other day for this fellowship. There is more time to do it. We are naturally together more. And the environment for such fellowship is present, in the light of God's word and our worship together of him. So let's take the opportunity to share together in these things. All the more, as Hebrews 10 says, as we anticipate, as we prepare for, and as we look forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may God help us and bless us. Amen.